Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So last year, around this time, Pastor asked me to participate in a sermon series that focused on what the scriptures said about the church. Because we were starting to come back to worship after a very difficult summer that kept many of us apart, and we thought it would be good to reflect on what had been missing, but even more importantly, to remind ourselves what will always stay the same, that we are the body of Christ, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the bride of Christ, his saints and holy ones forever. Well, as Pastor mentioned at the beginning of the service, this year it seems fitting that we return once again to contemplating who we are and what we are about. Another long year has passed, another summer filled with uncertainties and disappointments. Are we coming out of this pandemic? Is it starting over again? When will this end? Will nothing be the same? And we're weary. We're weary of hearing about all of this. We're weary of the cacophony of the news and Twitter and TikTok, and weary of the din and the distractions and the noise. We're weary of all this constant change, the unpredictability, the instability. So let's return to something more steady and sure, to something familiar and foundational. Let's return again to worship and to the Word of God. Let's return to the Word so that with gratitude and with joy we grow in a firm and fruitful place in the faith and the faithfulness of our Lord. That's what this psalm for today is all about. It's the first psalm for a reason, standing at the very head of the entire book of Psalms to teach us with simplicity and with beauty where we find our identity, our rootedness, our stability, and our rest. And at the center of this psalm, we are given a lovely vision, a serene and idyllic picture of a tree planted by fresh streams of water. A tree vibrant and verdant with sap-filled limbs and a lush canopy of leaves with fruit, plump and healthy, ready to ripen. We don't know if this is a young sapling or if it's an aged sentinel, but it doesn't matter because neither heat nor storm threatens its strength or its vigor. It has been planted by living waters, and it will flourish. It will not be moved. That is the picture of one whom the psalmist says delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. It's really that simple. Those who don't, who wander about chasing after the counsel of the wicked and listen to their words, those who linger and prefer the company of sinners or stand in solidarity with the scoffers, they are nowhere near this water, this brook of blessing, and so they are parched and dry, like the husks of grain that the hot and arid wind scatters with the dust of the earth. Two very different pictures, two very different futures. There is little ambiguity here on which one we should prefer. So what does it mean to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. When I hear the word of law in such a context, I usually think of the Ten Commandments, and that, of course, is quite right. One hears the words, "Have no other gods besides me," and all that follows from that regarding what it means to have the Lord as our God alone, and how to treat our fellow human beings as if they were created in God's image. And this law presents to us the truest of lives, the most authentic of identities of what it means to be a person in this world and to receive the world as a gift. That such a person is likened to a tree flourishing on the banks of the river seems supremely appropriate. But the word law here is bigger than just the Ten Commandments. It comes from the Hebrew word Torah, which along with the law includes any kind of instruction or teaching, but especially stands for the whole first section of the Bible, reaching all the way back to the beginning, to the account of God's creation of the world. In other words, we are to meditate on the very word that brought this world into existence out of nothing. The word that said, "Let there be light," and waters, and land, and sun, and moon, and every fish, and bird, and creature, and growing things, and trees. This word simply speaks, and all things come into existence like nouns in the syntax of the Creator's sentence. It's a word that calls forth life where there is no life, a word that stretches out the heavens and forms the very roots of the mountains. At the bottom of the world, there is yet His word. His speaking and His creating are not two things, but one and the same. It's upon this that we are to meditate. No wonder the psalmist declares that the effects of this word upon us are like the springing up of a garden. But what does it mean now to meditate on this word? Today, the word meditate conjures up a picture of a person maybe in a yoga pose being silent for a long length of time. But the scriptures mean something quite different. Meditate is an audible mumble or muttering of the word. It's not just thinking about it or reading it silently, but hearing the word of God, even as you read it and speak it. Now, I suppose we could take this quite literally and could mutter passages of scriptures to ourselves all day long, and if people think we are crazy, and they will, well, then so be it. But I think there is something more important and more profound being said here. Did you know that there is no word for obey in Hebrew? There's only the word shema, to hear. Like in Deuteronomy 6, the great shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." To hear the word of the Lord is not merely to have your eardrums vibrate, but this word does something to you. It evokes a response. It enlivens you. It produces fruit. It does that is to say, in most things. For example, rocks hear the word of its creator and it obeys it by being heavy or by sitting still. The flower hears the word of God and obeys it by blooming and spreading out its bright petals. Birds hear the word of God and do what birds do, and cattle and prairie grass and nematodes and halibut and river birch and etc., etc. You get what I mean. All of creation hears the word and obeys, except. Martin Luther once wrote in his commentary on the Psalms, "For it is correct to believe that everything reveres the word of God through which it was created, except for man and the devil, who became deaf through their ingratitude." Everything reveres the word of God through which it was created, except man and the devil, who became deaf through their ingratitude. So what is God to do? He sends his word into his creation anew. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the gospel says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, the Son of God, the very living Word of God incarnate, preaching and proclaiming that same Word of creation to make and to remake. To the blind, he opened his eyes so they could see who it was that was speaking to them. And for the deaf, he opened their ears so his words may enter into their hearts, from which would spring forth rivers of living water. In Jesus, God's word of creation and salvation are not two things, but they are one and the same thing. And so he said to his disciples, "The word, it's like a seed planted into the heart. And before a grain of wheat can bear much fruit, it must first fall to the earth and die." And so it does. Even death itself, even his own sacrificial death, which he willingly suffered for our sakes, was not the last word. 3 days later, he rose again, as he said he would. And the word of the Lord grew and multiplied. That's how the book of Acts puts it. Wherever there is the word of God, there is the church. For where there is the word, there God is in Christ Jesus with his Spirit planting and giving life and bringing forth growth and vitality and fruit and fecundity. That's why we are here. We have been drawn here to meet God in Christ, truly, who is present in his word, by which he enacts a creation of a new humanity, like a vibrant tree, bright and strong and splendid. I suppose there is much that we encounter in the world around us and even within ourselves, day and night, that draw us away from this word. And even as we receive the word, our lives and the lives of our brothers and sisters in church do not necessarily appear to be flourishing. They do not seem like a vibrant, lush tree. Sometimes I feel more like a struggling shrub, barely hanging on. And if I were tending this plant, I would have likely already given up on it. Of course, that's one of the many differences between me and God. Though we may not see fruitful signs of life, God sees. He knows the ways of the righteous, and his word will not fail. The one who creates out of nothing, the one who has risen from the dead, speaks to you, do not doubt that you will one day see what he promises, the joy of the harvest and the burgeoning of eternal blessedness. There is nothing that is more enduring than the irrepressible word of our Creator and our Redeemer, the Word made flesh, the Word proclaimed to us and among us. Without it, neither we or the world have a future. But when we delight in it and meditate on it, we venture out on his words, and they will not disappoint. Here, we can grow roots. We can find rest and await the coming of our eternal spring. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.